This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
New voices in your head.
It's radio.
Free
radio.
More than 50 undocumented workers were arrested on their way to their employer this week. When did you and No One Is Illegal begin hearing about these arrests?
We started getting word of it, I think it was yesterday, through some members who are also legal counsel. We started hearing rumors because there were kind of multiple people being picked up in a similar way. And then we realized that this was something that was more of a mass raid, mass arrest.
Why is this happening, and especially now?
I don't know exactly the reason why it's happening right now. I mean, it's pretty clear why it's happening sort of where it is. It's kind of generally all the arrests that we've heard have been in the sort of James Finch or Keele and Wilson area. So definitely an area that is lower income, a lot of racialized people, a lot of migrants in that community that are being picked up. What they've been doing, I mean, I can kind of describe what the story we've been hearing consistently has been, is that people have been getting stopped at what is kind of disguised as sort of like a traffic stop. They say it's a routine check. They ask everyone for IDs, and when people refuse, they're very coercive and get that information, and then they just immediately send them to the immigration holding center. Time and time again, that's the same thing. It's people in plain clothes, and it's unclear to us who it is, whether it's the Toronto Police, OPP, or Immigration Enforcement.
Now, these arrests have been very public. In other words, arresting them on their way to work, out in plain view. Are they trying to send a message to the community?
It's definitely a fear-mongering, fear tactic. Absolutely. The fact, like, especially in the Jane and Finch neighborhood, like, a lot of people in that neighborhood know people, maybe these are their family members, their friends, their neighbors that are getting picked up, and it's definitely very quick to spread. And it's definitely a statement to anyone who's undocumented, and it's about really further pushing undocumented people who already very much live in the shadows, in all the back rooms, in every job you can imagine. So pushing them further and further into more precarious, more dangerous, more exploitable jobs.
Is there any relationship between these 50 people, or I'm just trying to get an idea as to why them, or were they just chosen randomly?
So they're all kind of day laborers. From what we hear, mostly working in construction, like painters, and so they all usually, have a ride together. They do a lot of maybe ride share, and the employer picks them up at locations. So it's definitely very targeted, targeting places where a lot of people, a lot of migrants specifically, racialized migrants work.
Where are they now?
They're all being held, as far as we know, at the Toronto Immigration Holding Center. So that's at 385 Rexdale.
And how long are they going to be there?
Really depends by case. Maybe a few people that might not, say, have a criminal history, they might be let out on a bail if they have a kind of bond person. Otherwise, depending on sort of what their status might be, might get deported quickly, some might. I mean, the fact is, like, in Canada, we have a system of indefinite detention, so there's no saying how long people will be detained. Some people we work with who have been in detention for many years, up to a decade, actually. So it's case by case.
What impact have these arrests had on the migrant communities in general?
Like raids in particular?
Yeah, I mean, this raid today, has that sent shockwaves through the community? Are they now, really, really worried in terms of, what's it done to their psyche? Are they all now in fear of, gee, am I going to be next? Is it going to happen to me tomorrow, the next day, next week, next month?
Yeah. I mean, one thing is it really defies some of the policies that we've had in Toronto, which is about reducing fear for migrants, right? I'm thinking about the sanctuary city policy that was passed in 2013, which is about trying to make Toronto a slightly safer space for people with precarious or undocumented people. I mean, working with JFAP, the Jane and Finch Action Against Poverty, we've been putting a lot of posters just to let people know what's been happening, let them know what their rights are, who they can get in touch with, just making sure that people know the kind of limited legal means, but how to defend themselves.
For those listeners who are not familiar with the City of Toronto's Sanctuary City policy, can you briefly describe that?
After over a decade of pressure of community organizing, the city passed a policy that states that city services can be offered to all residents of Toronto, regardless of immigration status. And it's part of a campaign that has been, a lot of community organizations have been working on at different service sites for a long time around access without fear, because fear is one of the main kinds of, the biggest issue that people time and time again tell us about, especially for undocumented people. The fact that, you could walk into a library and you might get asked for identification and be reported to immigration enforcement. So to us, these raids aren't directly related, but it's really defies the spirit of this sanctuary policy, which is about, lessening that daily fear. Regardless, the sanctuary policy is around creating more and more spaces, starting at service sites, at public spaces, where we actively push out or where law enforcement and immigration enforcement is not allowed to enter. Of course, all these people, as you mentioned, they were arrested in broad daylight. It was a very public statement to all migrants in that neighborhood.
In No One Is Illegal's press release, McDonald Scott, an immigration consultant, claims that the legality of these raids is questionable. Now, I know that you're not a lawyer, but why does he make that allegation?
The main allegation around that is because people shouldn't be arrested without a warrant. And the only time that immigration enforcement can actually detain someone is if they have suspicion that they are undocumented, and usually they need some sort of proof for that if they don't have a warrant. People are, have the right to remain silent and not, provide some of this information unless, if they ask them if they're being detained, and they are being detained. So some of the people try to kind of exercise their rights and not, try to give them their immigration information, but they were very aggressive and coercive, and in the end were basically forced to provide this information, which is not something that they can do or is lawful.
What are the next steps for No One Is Illegal as well as the arrestees?
So one of the main things, which is part of what we've been doing for a long time, is around getting information out there to directly impacted communities to make sure that they are aware of some of these rights, as much as maybe the enforcement will end up doing what they will either way, but that there are some resources available, and also informing people about how important it is for them to make a plan in case something like this happens, whether it's about having knowing where you're going to be detained, or having people to take care of your personal affairs, or having a number to a trusted lawyer in hand. Some of these things will really help in that process if you are detained.
Has no one who's illegal made any contact with the local city councillor? Because, of course, I mean, this is in fact, a City of Toronto issue, and in that it might contravene the sanctuary city policy?
No, we have not. The main contact we've had is directly with people who've been detained, their family members, as well as people who work in that community.
Mm-hmm. Anything further you'd like to add, Tings?
So for anyone who might be listening that, you know, wants to access resources, they can go to toronto.knowyourrights.
Tings, thanks so much for taking the time to interview with rabble.ca.
Thank you so much.
For rabble.ca, this is John Bonner. Thank you for listening to John Bonner's audio blog, hosted by rabble.ca and the Rabble Podcast Network.